Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you tonight, but we want to start off by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and our newest sponsor, Lifeline Counseling Services.
Oh, yes. We're excited about having those folks on board. Some great information. I'm sure we'll be having them join us over the next couple of weeks, but some great information and services available for our veterans. So we'll be learning more about them over the next few weeks. But we want to thank all of our sponsors, and of course you are great listeners. For 9 years on here on 106.5 FM, it seems like it's gone by just like in the blink of an eye, huh, Tom?
Oh man, it's unbelievable. Yes, it sure is.
But we could not do any of this without your support, so please let our sponsors know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, the show is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. If you like to listen on demand, podcasts of our regularly aired shows are up on most of the podcasting sites. Just search Scuttlebutt or SBN. And if you like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, the podcasts are up at CastBox.com. So plenty of ways to be able to enjoy the show on demand. We've got a lot of information to cover tonight, packed show, so if we can't get to everything or you'd like more information on any of the topics that we discuss, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Later on SBN, we'll talk with Bryant Knight with the crew from the Fight or Die rowing team. They recently completed their trip across the Atlantic, and so we will touch base with them. We'll also chat with Mr. Stephen Farley from one of our great sponsors, Patriot Roofing. We'll chat with him a little bit later. Also, the number of active duty military suicides reached its highest level in 6 years. It's almost hard to believe, but we'll talk about it and see what the experts are saying as to what can be done. And in an interesting story, a soldier who shot himself in the head is being denied benefits for his injuries. We'll give you the details there I think there's more to the story than just that. I will also follow up on the fundraiser that was held over at Ed's this past weekend for our fallen officer, first responder, tutor. And, of course, Tom's tirade on Keep Them Separated. But first, in something of a surprise for veterans and their families, the Navy has denied claims linked to the water contamination at Camp Lejeune. Now, the story actually comes from a local TV station there in North Carolina. But, yeah, the U.S. Navy is denying thousands of claims from service members and their families who were exposed to contaminated drinking water decades ago at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Now, you were there during this. You were at Lejeune during this time period, weren't you, Tom?
Yes, I was there during, 5-6 years of that time at Camp Lejeune. I understand, though, Cal, that they're not denying them medical benefits on the items that they have outlined, but they are denying them for just I guess it would just be a regular class action lawsuit.
Right. Well, I mean, although I don't think at this point it is a class action suit, I think the Navy Secretary Richard Spencer said that at least 4,400 claims totaling $963 billion are being denied because there is no legal basis for paying for them. He said that, you know, the decision was difficult, but said that the claimants could go to Capitol Hill to seek legislation providing restitution. The VA has estimated that as many as 900,000 service members were potentially exposed to the tainted water between 1953 and 1987. Spencer went on to say that there's no legal basis nor ability for the Department of Defense to pay these claims. He says that North Carolina has a law that puts a 10-year statute of limitations on such cases. A federal law basically says that the government is not liable unless there's actual negligence found. And the Supreme Court went on to say that the U.S. was not liable for injuries to military members while on duty. The only one I find in that whole thing, Tom, is that, you know, the government in this case, when you look at negligence, this went on for literally decades.
Sure.
And there are a number of groups that have said that the Marine Corps leaders were slow to respond when the test first found evidence of contaminated groundwater in the early 1980s. Of course, you know, this went on until 1987. So, as you said, Tom, these folks are able to apply for disability benefits, government disability benefits, through the VA. And, of course, there are a list of medical conditions that the VA is treating as well. So this looks like this was just straight, you know, we're going to file a claim against the Navy. And that was not able to move forward. So it'll be interesting to see if you're able to get somebody.
Cal.
Yes.
I know we got a delay in here, but, you know, the thing that bothers me in that regard is that the VA is going to take care of any medical claims that the veterans are having. What about these guys' wives and children? And we've actually had some deaths involved in both the wives and with the children that we could follow all the way back to that water.
Well, and I think the with regard to that, the VA has said that eligible veterans stationed at the base for at least 30 cumulative days between August 1st, 53 and December 31st, 1987, could get government disability benefits. So in terms of what that means for the spouses or children, I think that's probably going to you're going to end up having to go back into Congress and seeing what kind of legislation they can come up with to be able to go ahead and move forward with some of these claims. At this point, I don't think there's anybody that disputes the fact that the water was contaminated and the Marine Corps knew about it, and they were slow to do something about it. They have since said that the contamination was unintentional, and in fact, some of it was coming from an off-base dry cleaner that was leaking into the ground. So, it you know, it's a challenge. Obviously, the Navy has to work within the laws that are there. And so are these folks that have claims. They're going to have to be able to figure out a way to get the Congress involved.
Yeah, I've stepped away from the phone. I had talked to Brian on my cell phone there, Cal, and he's fixing to call. He's fixing to call us in. I told him don't turn sideways, so we wouldn't be able to see him. Yeah, we'll follow up with that in a little while.
As always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, we will talk with Bryant Knight from the crew of Fight or Die when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Hey, check us out on Facebook. A lot of good information there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN, and it is great to be joined by veteran and patriot Bryant Knight with the Fight or Die crew. Bryant, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, man, I tell you what, it's a pleasure to have you on the air. I guess you're still in Antigua?
Yeah, I'm still in Antigua, and we got a couple of days here. We've been prepping our boat to get ready to ship back to the United States.
What do you got to do to prep a boat?
It's just, you know, we've been out in the ocean for a while, so we got to clean it up.
Okay.
We don't want to have anything unsanitary going back to the United States, so we have to clean it up and, make sure we got all of our equipment. We've done our equipment checks and make sure that everything's in order, and we get it ready to go.
So everything actually that you guys had on board ship, those 54 days, 9 hours, and 3 minutes out there, I had to write it down.
Yeah.
But all of that equipment now is still on board the Whoopi then?
Yeah, everything's still on board the Whoopi. I mean, everything that you would consider, equipment for the boat or tools for the boat, it's still part of the vessel.
All right, that's good. Now we know what you did with the vessel. How in the hell did you do 54 days and 9 hours, man? That's what I want to know.
well, we did it. We're the first all U.S. veteran team to cross an ocean, any ocean.
All right.
We're actually, the Guinness Book folks reached out to us, and we're not, I mean, you know, it's just, it's been a lot of... a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you know, for us being able to do that. But how did we do it? We did it. We're a team. And that's just the way we worked. We just worked together and made stuff happen.
There you go. You know, improvise and overcome.
Yep.
Yep. I understand that you're a little bit lighter now than you were when you left.
went into the race and I weighed a pretty solid 195 pounds, and I weigh 163 pounds.
Oh,
and
man,
so that's a you know, a solid amount of you know, weight. Every one of us, every one of the team members, we've all lost at least 20 pounds. You know, but it's a part of, you know, it's a part of this kind of race. It's a, you know, it is a very extreme sport. The ocean is unforgiving and does not care about, you know, you or anybody else. She's
right.
Going to do whatever she wants to do.
Oh, yeah. She's her own girl.
Yeah, she's her own girl, and you have to respect her. And if you don't, you're going to get whipped pretty quick.
Right. Well, that being said, Brian, did you guys run into any real problem areas out while you were out there?
We would have really liked to come in a lot closer to the winning spot than the loser spot. But what we learned as a team, and what, you know, Fighter Diving Organization has learned for this race and for rowing across the Atlantic, is you're dictated by the weather, and you can make a decision that can really propel you, 100 nautical miles to, 200 nautical miles ahead of your opponent.
Right.
And if you don't make the right decision, then you get caught, with a slower current or a slower tide or zero winds, it's frustrating when you do that.
Right.
We were there because, you know, at one point we were in the top three, and then we got into the top five, and when for the first 2.5-3 weeks we were within the top five for winning this race, and we made a south turn, and we rode, an average of about 150 miles, 200 miles, and then we got caught in the doldrums, and the doldrums stopped us for 5 days straight, and it slowed us down. And, that was a real turning point in the race for us.
That was a killer for you there.
No, it wasn't a killer. It put us behind.
Okay.
It wasn't until our second attempt, our second doldrum, where we actually deployed our sea anchor. And a sea anchor is it's a floating parachute underwater that slows you down towards it. If you're headed in a certain current that you don't want to go, you deploy your sea anchor and it'll slow you down.
Okay.
And so we caught a wind that was pushing us up to the north, and naturally that's not where we want to go.
Right.
And there was no choice. We were already 3 miles to the north, blown by the wind and pushed by the current. That was tough. And so we had to do that. And while the other teams, our other opponents, they were, steadfast, and they ended up gaining about 150 to 200 mile advantage on us.
Well, I'll be darned.
And,
okay.
And it happened just like that. And so it just goes to show that, there's no, real true way to understand this kind of racing and crossing the Atlantic,
right,
and understanding the wind, the weather, and the currents and everything that follows with that, the depressions that come through and just slows everything down. To figure that out would take a really long time. And I truly don't think you even could.
Right.
You just got to make, you try to make the best cognitive decision, and then back it. Just stand with it.
Oh, yeah.
Stay with it. What you got to do.
Stay with it. Make it work. Well, how did you actually navigate?
We navigated. So our first primary navigation piece was GPS for our Garmin system, through satellite. It's just a standard GPS system, tells us where we are, and that we were having it. We navigated for that 99% of the time. Our second, we followed that with just standard compass and charts.
Okay.
Straight up nautical navigation. It's funny because we're a bunch of Army guys, and we all, for this year's team, we're all Army, so we understand map reading and you know, grid coordinates, but being able to translate that into a latitude and a longitude, that was, you know, that was something that we were not very used to doing, but it worked out well.
That's awesome. Well, when will you be in Mobile? Have you worked out an itinerary yet?
You know, it's been, I'll let you know when I land back on Earth.
All right.
Because it's been such a windfall from the time that we were 20 miles from the island and we could see the island to the time that we got within 10 miles, and then when it became under 5 and then 2 miles, and then we had a reception from the you know, search and rescue department of Antigua that, you know, followed us in. It was it became what seemed 54 days. You plow through it and you get used to the sort of what rhythm it provides, and then all of a sudden you're just welcomed by, you know, thousands of people waiting for you, you know, on the shoreline.
There you
and
go.
They realize what you've done. They realize by looking at the boat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rowboat. It's not a sailor. It's not a motor yacht.
It's not a mast on it.
It's not a ship.
It don't have a damn diesel in it.
Push you along.
Right.
You actually have to, blood, sweat, and tears, move across that ocean. You know, just the harder you work, the faster you're going to get to dry land.
There you go. Okay, buddy.
And that, you know, that was... It was just incredible. It was incredible to see.
Well, Brian, on behalf of all of the people here and all the veterans and on the Gulf Coast areas within our listening voice, we're all extremely proud of you guys and what you're doing. There's not very many of us at all that would have the guts to do what you've done. And all we're going to do is stand by, and when we see you, we're going to clap you and shake that hand and think a big old howdy do, buddy. We appreciate what you've done, and we hope that it's helped some of our veterans.
Well, thank you so much, and it really means so much to me. You know, I live out in the, you know, in the Colorado western area now, but Mobile is my home. The South is my home. I, you know, that is where I'm born and bred, and I love to get back down every single chance I can get. My family's still down there. It's really important to me to stay down there. Everybody from Mobile, there's so many supporters from back home that I'm truly humbled and I'm truly appreciative. And, you know, I just can't thank everybody enough for supporting, our organization, Fight or Die, and what we're trying to do.
Well, Panini Pete told me to be sure to tell you that he's got some oysters on a half shell and all the cold beer you can drink. So we'll put that weight back on you.
I cannot tell you how many times we talked about oysters on the half shell, sitting in that restaurant, talking to everybody, looking out on across the bay, enjoying the day, and eating 3 dozen sets of oysters.
Fried shrimp.
Of course, I told you I've lost 38 pounds.
We can put it back on you.
I think going there, it would help me out a whole lot.
We can handle that. Don't worry about it. You just get your butt to Mobile.
Good stuff.
And as Pete says, get your butt to Edge Seafood Shed.
You got it.
All right. Brian, appreciate you calling in, buddy. God bless you. And we certainly appreciate all of you guys and what you've done. Looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much. Godspeed and God bless America.
Amen. Hoorah.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
But Network Radio Program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, you can check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, and the gentleman that owns that, Mr. Stephen Farley, be on here with me in just a little bit, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services. Have you heard of the Veterans Assistance Program? United Way's 211 is here to help veterans and their families navigate through resources available in your area. Veterans Benefits Assistance information is provided through our dedicated 211 call specialists. Each call specialist is skilled, sometimes in the different benefits available for veterans and how to apply. They can help you through this sometimes complicated process. Family and financial counsel is also available at no charge to all the veterans and their families. For more information, dial 211 from your phone or visit lifelinesmobile.org.
And, you know, Tom, that is it's an incredible program that they've got there. And when I was talking with some of the folks from over there, that 211, that's not just in our area. You could dial that 211 in any area of the country, and it will take you to the local program that is working with our veterans.
That's awesome.
So, you know, great resource for benefits and, of course, counseling as well. So we're glad to have those folks on from Lifeline Counseling Services. But it is a pleasure to be joined in the scuttlebutt seat by veteran and great supporter of our veterans and military, Mr. Stephen Farley with Patriot Roofing. Stephen, welcome back to the scuttlebutt.
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, it's good to have you on board here. I just had a blast talking with Brian Knight there with those guys rowing. He's retired Green Beret, I think, that's a major. That's just got out of service not too many years ago, and he and four other Army guys, you know, they're not like Marines like ourselves, but, you know, I told them just two of us could do the same damn thing four of them are doing, but they didn't. They weren't listening to any of that. So.
I heard that. That was some interesting stuff going on, man. Those guys are awesome.
Oh, they're unbelievable. But let me ask you a second. Yeah. Now, Patriot Roofing is your organization and has been for quite a few years. What is the process or what process should we go through in choosing a roofing company?
Well, the smart thing to do is call three. You need to call three roofing companies and get three estimates so you know what you have something to compare to, you know?
Right. And that's what, even though you are a roofing company, you don't have a problem with that.
Well, I prefer it. I love when I come in and people look at my estimate and it's cheaper than everybody else's and more detailed, you know?
Okay. Well, and then that being said, now what happens if you find additional damage after you remove that roof?
Well, I take pictures. I call the customer. Hopefully they can come look at it, you know? And I tell them right then and there. I don't do the whole, well, we'll just fix it, and trust me, you owe me $10,000, you know?
Right. Well, that's cool. Now, didn't sometimes small leaks, don't they turn into a huge repair if they're not taken care of properly?
Man, we did a job a couple weeks ago, and it was the smallest leak. It was a nail popped up, and they put a little tar on it, and the guy didn't know what he was doing, and he missed it, and then... Well, by the time they called us, we had to replace the drywall, the roof, the framing, rafters. Huh. We had to pull the window out and reset the window. I mean, it turned like a $100 repair turned into a $5,000 job, and I was just
unbelievable.
I felt bad for them. You know?
I know, you know. But also, when you start getting water like that into an area underneath the roof and in the sidewalls, you're going to start having problems with termites.
all the time. And again, like I keep thinking of other jobs that I've done. This one guy called me, had a tiny little spot, and it was obviously termites. It was, you know, a corner, maybe one 2x4. And when we started pulling siding out, pulling drywall out, it was half of his house. It was horrible. Yep. And there's nothing to do about it.
Yep.
But fix it.
Yep. That's, you know, and you're, you know, it's tore down. You've got to fix it then. But all that being said, we hear about the collision repair center. The technicians have to be certified. They have to go to training. The automotive technicians that are working on our high-dollar automobiles, same, you know, a lot of it, same price as our homes are. Do you guys have, you know, many changes like in roofing codes and all? Do you go to classes? I mean, how does that work? How are you trained?
It's nonstop. Like, and not just, okay, so you would imagine that the roofing codes change, so we have to go to a class and learn the new roofing codes. Well, it's not just that. So different manufacturers, if you choose one manufacturer and instead of another one, well, then that's the roof I'm putting on your house. Well, I have to be certified in all of the manufacturers. So I have to go to classes to learn the new codes when they're coming out. I have to learn the new codes as they apply to the different manufacturers so that I can give you the warranty that you asked me for, you know?
Right.
He gets crazy.
Well, I know that the manufacturers want to have training classes for the corporations and industries that are installing their roofs and how to properly do it. But does the city give you anything on codes? Y'all have classes on with the cities and counties and states?
From time to time, but mostly that's on us. We have to research that and keep up, you know, make sure we're up to par on what's happening.
It's your direct problem. They just go write the rules.
Yeah, it's my problem. I got to figure out and make sure that I don't get in trouble for it.
I hear you. What about fortified roofing? I'm hearing fortified roofing. What the hell does that mean?
Well, fortified is a program offered by most insurance companies to allow you to take 30% off of your homeowners. And in order to do that, you have to build your house to a certain code or have your roof. Well, my part of it is to replace your roof to a certain standard.
Right.
Now, I have to coordinate with a fortified inspector, and then he makes sure that I did what he asked and what's required and document it.
Then it has to be properly documented, and that way you could forward it to your insurance company.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's neat. I'm glad to know that your organization, I don't know about some of the others, but I know that your organization is certified. And you guys have had the training from these manufacturers on the proper use of the equipment that you're installing. Because, the homes that you install on a roof on, that's everything we own, baby. And if it happened to be on my business, it's everything I own in that business. So it's got to be done right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, how can my people listening out there, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, just give us a call, 251-270-1102.
Right.
We have a web address at patriotllc.org.
Okay. How about Facebook?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got that. That's brand new. Facebook /patriotllc.org.
Man, I hope you wrote all that down because I can't remember it all.
No, I can't
give me
either.
Give me that phone number again.
251-270-1102.
All right. This is Mr. Stephen Farley. He's a veteran, a Marine veteran. And he owns Patriot Roofing Company here on the Gulf Coast. He does work all in Mobile County and Baldwin County. And anything to do with the shingles or metal roofs and the fortified roofs, as he was talking about there, he's the man. He's got the company, and I assure you that he'll take care of you and do you a good job. Stephen, thank you, brother.
Yes. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Hoorah.
Rah.
See ya. All right. That's Dave. That's the thing.
A lot of great information there.
Yep. These veterans are back, and they're, you know, trying to make a living. We've got to stick with them, man, because they're doing a good job.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it's great that they support the causes in the community and support our military and our veterans. Hey, real quick, before we go to the next segment, I just want to remind everybody that for the next 3 weeks, Scuttlebutt will be on the road at Ed's Seafood Shed. We're not going to be at our regularly scheduled time from 8 to 9. We'll be on from 1 to 2 each Wednesday, and you can come out and visit us over at Ed's Seafood Shed. Get some great grub and some good conversation.
All right.
On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Keep 'Em Separated. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt.
Of the green beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the green beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The plight of children who accompany their parents illegally across the border into the United States has captured the attention of the press the past few weeks in the latest attempt to distract the American people from the successes of President Trump and the abject failure of the Obama administration, along with its progressive partners in Congress, to pass any type of immigration reform during his 8 years in office. Instead, politicians and their media puppets continue to lambast the longtime practice of separating children from their criminal parents, mainly into foster care or other temporary housing situations, while their parents are detained. To fix the root problem, aliens entering the country illegally would both remove a progressive talking point used to garner votes and expose the progressive left as nothing more than advocates for open borders and an end to a sovereign United States. Many of these, such as Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democratic senator from New York, are really nothing more than closeted communists. Gillibrand is perhaps among the most dangerous of their ilk, wrapping herself in the flag of feminism and equality while advocating for policies that in time will destroy the Constitution. Just remember, Gillibrand was the political voice behind the faux military sexual assault epidemic, spouting statistics designed to shock the average American into thinking that there was a rapist behind every $1,000 toilet seat, when in reality the percentage of assaults in the military were far less than those in the general population. For more details on the numbers, check out my tirade, "Just President Obama, There Is a Rule of Law," from 5 years ago. That is how long Gillibrand has been spewing her particular style of anti-Americanism. The true purpose of her witch hunt had less to do with rooting out rapists and more to do with erasing the chain of command from the UCMJ. In other words, destroying traditional law and order in America. So the spectacle of kids in cages like something from an ASPCA commercial was the perfect progressive propaganda of peace. You halfway expected Democrats to start running ads to raise money. For just $19 a month, you can help us talk more about how bad President Trump is for enforcing a law passed by Democrats under Bill Clinton. Then again, who hasn't been under Bill Clinton?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Bad top cat. Anyway, in what is yet another nothing-to-see-here scandal, the actual number of children separated from their parents has been estimated to be somewhere in the range of 3,200. Progressives claim that this is the utmost and inhuman treatment of kids. Of course, these are the same folks who thought that it was a good policy to send Elian Gonzalez back to communist Cuba. They claim that these children are being unjustly punished because they are here only because of their parents, who made a choice to drag them from an innocent slumber south of the border and invade the capitalist utopia to the north in search of a better life on the Democratic plantation. However, their claims of wanting to reunite these families on humanitarian grounds ring false when they fail to recognize that the parents of these kids, now being clothed, fed, and sheltered by your tax dollars,
chose to cross the border knowing that what they were doing was illegal and that separation was a very real possibility. They will cry that it was not the fault of the chicos v chicas, but their parents. And the poor things should not have to suffer because of their parents' bad choices. Really? You're going to use such a pathetic emotional argument to denigrate the laws and sovereignty of our country? Well, of course you will, because that is your true purpose. Nonetheless, if we want to take that approach, then why are these bleeding hearts not decrying the separation of American families at the hands of law enforcement? Putting a child in temporary housing or foster care when their parent engages in illegal activity is standard practice, even for U.S. citizens. A bit of information that's been largely ignored is that there are a large number of American children who've been separated from their parents and placed in foster care when their parents are incarcerated. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, an estimated 20,939 American children were put in foster care when a parent was incarcerated in 2016, and a whopping 166,000 were removed from their parents simply due to neglect. I would offer that the children of parental illegals fall into both categories. But you won't hear the progressives lament these children because to do so would equate the illegal alien parents of those separated with criminals and deadbeats, which they are. Instead of being valiant providers seeking nothing more than a new life for their future democratic socialist voter, you also won't hear progressive moaning about the over 300,000 innocent children literally ripped from their mother's womb by the infanticide providers at Planned Parenthood, of no hopes with being reunited with a loving parent. Moreover, you will never hear from them mention the over 700,000 U.S. children who are separated from their parents right now because one or both of their parents made a choice to sacrifice and serve their country in our armed forces. That's right, over 700,000 children will go to bed tonight separated from their parents because the parent volunteered to defend this nation from the illegals that voluntarily cross our borders, defy our laws, and place their children in harm's way through their actions. But you won't hear Gillibrand or Schumer or Pelosi, I hate to even say that word, crying for these children because to do so would highlight the stark differences in the actions of their parents. Red-blooded American patriots serving to protect our freedoms versus illegal alien criminal parasites looking to destroy the system of government which allows for the same. They won't bemoan the flight of these American children because at their heart they despise our military and all for which it stands. They mock those in uniform, believing them to be uneducated and unworldly deplorables. To them, the children of those in uniform deserve the hardship because their parents likely will never vote Democrat or progressive or socialist or communist or whatever the latest brand name is. That is why the simplest solution to this problem is to build a wall. It will keep these neglectful parents from making bad choices to bring their kids across the border, only to have them ripped from their arms and forced to star in the next round of progressive propaganda. Until then, you have to
keep them separated.
For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Clarkson, and God bless the patriots making true sacrifices for their kids.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Boom-chaka-laka-laka, boom-chaka-laka-laka, boom-chaka-laka.